Giant
Monster
Bullshit
is the most listened to podcast in the country.
Oh, God, you sneezed all over the fucking intro. Yeah,
there's snot all over it.
It's disgusting.
Ugh. I got it. I can fix this. I can fix this.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
See, let's play it. See how it sounds.
Giant Monster Bullshit is the most listened to podcast in the country.
I think that sounded okay.
Yeah, I kind of forgot how the old one sounds now.
Yeah, me too. What did we fucking watch?
We watched Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, directed by 1972, starring Godzilla.
Yep. This movie was made
A long time ago,
eons ago.
So this was John Fukuda's last Godzilla movie ever.
That's right. Good riddance is what we say.
Bye. I've said it before. I'll say it again. John Fukuda is the false prophet of the Godzilla series. How many times have you seen this?
Jesus. I don't know. I feel like they had this. I remember seeing it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And liking it all right. I remember seeing Anguirus get his ass beat and not liking that a whole lot.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would make me very happy.
I think my Blockbuster might have had it. Did that set have it? That DVD set that we
that
both
came
had?
With Terror of Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, that was just Terror of Mecha and versus Mechagodzilla wasn't on there. I either saw this on TV or they had it at Blockbuster. So I think I watched it like once, maybe twice. And then, like, a few months ago, you and I watched it, and I could barely remember it, but now I remember it okay. And then I watched it this time, so four times, maybe, including this.
This one is kind of a special movie to me because it was the last Godzilla movie that I saw before having seen them all.
So that was, like, the last unseen one for you?
Yeah, wow. And that time that we watched it, before this was my first time ever watching it in a proper setting. Now, we watched the Criterion version, but before this, I imported that Japanese Blu-ray that I have of it, and then I had a DVD, an American DVD of it. And I had an idea because this was way back when we first started the podcast, and the Criterion set hadn't been announced yet. So I had the idea of, like, I'm going to scan my Blu-ray of this, and I'm going to copy the subtitles from the DVD.
Right.
So for, like, months, I was working on this, you know, and just in my spare time, like, I had color corrected it, and I was, like, doing, like, a cool transfer.
Yeah.
Once the Criterion set was announced, it kind of made it obsolete. Like, the difference would have been so tiny, also it's just, like, having a whole fucking movie on my hard drive, and it just wasn't worth it. But I did, like, while I was editing it and putting in those subtitles, I saw most of the movie.
Right.
So by the time I had seen the movie for the first time, I already knew the plot, like, even better than some movies that I've seen a million times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I saw it that first time and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Growing up, I saw Terror of Mechagodzilla a lot.
Mm.
And it was just kind of weird because Terror of Mechagodzilla is a direct sequel to this.
Right.
Having seen that one so many times, but
not this one. I remember distinctly the part, like, I don't remember a whole lot of this movie. I guess we'll get into it, but, like, I remember, like, little bits and pieces of this movie, but I remember Terror of Mechagodzilla, like, really well.
Yeah.
Because I also watched that one a ton. It's weird that it would, like, there's certain little bits of this were, like, really familiar, like the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, King Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Godzilla's, like, first little bit where it's actually Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
But that was, like, you know,
I remember that super well.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll just come out and say it. I think this is probably Jun Fukuda's best contribution to the Godzilla series. And not that I really, like, hated any of his other movies. Megalon was... I really didn't like Megalon.
Yeah, no, that one's really bad.
But I liked Gigan, especially as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Sea Monster is fine. I don't really have a problem with that. Son of Godzilla, I love Son of Godzilla. But this is, like, by far, like, the most meaningful... Like, I don't know, it just feels like he was, like, going for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the whole idea of Mechagodzilla is, like, not only a contribution to, like, the Godzilla, you know, pantheon or whatever, but he's also, it's also sort of become, like, a staple of the genre to have, like, robotic foes.
Yeah, well, that started with King Kong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that before?
This came out, like, 7 years after Mechanicong.
Oh, shit. Well, I feel like an idiot now.
Yeah.
But it's iconic, you know? It's like...
No, yeah.
It's like a
Mecha
huge
Godzilla
one.
Made it big.
It's in, like, almost every incarnation of Godzilla now.
And I love the design of Mechagodzilla in this.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Like, every time I see him, like, the older I get, the more I appreciate it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't like it as much because it was, like, a retro
design. It just felt, like, old and shitty to me.
Yeah, yeah, but as we go on, it's, like, really cool and stylized.
No, it's crazy, you know? Awesome.
It's really, really cool. I love those shots. When he first, you know, he's got all his skin off or whatever, and they have, like, all these little shots and, like, short zooms in on it, like, spinning hands and his jaw.
And that theme that they've got for him is
perfect.
Yeah.
That's something we need to talk about. There's some banging-ass music in this.
Yeah, I love that part that you were just talking about, because it's, like, that Godzilla and him have been fighting for a minute, and you kind of... expect, or like the traditional way, yeah, just the way you would expect it to be done is like all of his skin goes off, it's the big reveal, and you would kind of expect it to be like bum 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 bum, you know, some big bombastic
dramatic sort of a shot of him,
you could even do like the little zoom ins, you know, but just make it like threatening,
right?
But they choose to go with this jazzy theme that makes it, like, cool.
Dun, 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 dun. It's like big band or something.
Bum,
it's like...
Bum, yeah,
they got, like, those walloping drums that are, like...
Yeah.
You know, dun, 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 dun. This is fucking cool.
It makes you feel like you're looking at cars.
Yeah, like, some piece of...
It's just, like, cool music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's
like
it's,
hype music.
Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting...
Hyping up the bad guy instead of... making it more threatening.
It's like really, it's also just sort of a weird choice too. I think that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, well, it's really stylistic. Like, that's just a really cool directorial choice, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. There's also some music at the beginning. You know, it's just like some score I was going through, and there's like little bits of guitar and stuff that I liked. And then there's, of course, King Caesar song.
Yeah.
It's his own song that I imagine was sold as some sort of single. You know what I mean?
You know, Godzilla fans, like, they pretty much hate that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't love the song itself, but I like that there's one for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's always been weird to me that Godzilla fans hate that one.
I don't know.
It's because they say it like goes on way too long.
I guess, but it's kind of funny in retrospect. Yeah. Like, these aren't good movies, dude. Like, these aren't, like, good movies.
Yeah.
You know? It's, like, they're weird.
I don't know. I don't know how you can justify... I imagine it's a lot of the same people that like Megalon, the movie Megalon, Godzilla versus Megalon, who are getting pissed off at the King Caesar theme. So it just kind of confuses me how you could like
that
the whole movie is just... something bad that goes on so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the same time, you're pissed off that this little fucking song.
That song isn't really ruining anything. Like,
no, I think it's just like one of those little weird, unexplainable moments that happens in these Godzilla movies all the time that makes them like just a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, no, it's like obviously probably like a marketing thing. Like I said, they're like, I think with the Mothra song and like that tradition of singing songs to summon monsters or whatever is probably.
Yeah.
Like, or like, it's for the, maybe the women that sing those are, like, you know, trying to make an image.
Yeah, I guess
themselves.
So.
You know, I can't pretend to know, but, like, that's what I get the vibe. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I get from it, is like it's to market a little tertiary piece of media.
Yeah.
But the music's really cool throughout this. There's
Definitely weird memorable.
I think it's when they cut to like a certain city, they'll have like this woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes that noise exactly, but
maybe a kazoo. I don't know.
A slide whistle, maybe. It's fucking bizarre. They play like a little orchestral like lead in between, you know, in the establishing shot of it.
Yeah.
And then they play the little wacky noise. Don't know why. Another cool weird thing.
Some people latch onto this, but apparently this movie was supposed to be kind of representative of like there was some like minority group in Japan that had been treated kind of poorly historically.
Really?
And the like the mystical people were supposed to kind of represent them.
Mm.
And people say that King Caesar, like their monster, teaming up with Godzilla to attack like a foe from another place.
Yeah.
Is supposed to be representative of like, you know, an olive branch between Japan and that culture that they had not been so nice to historically.
Well, that's interesting.
Interesting.
My larded up American ass didn't get that at all, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk you take by putting any message like that into your movie. It's like, okay, well, 30 years down the line, it means something completely different.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad or anything, but at its core, this is a movie about aliens who build a robot to fight Godzilla. Yep. So that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna pretend to talk about the commentary of this and how it's. Ooh, wow! This movie's trying to say something that makes it good.
Yeah,
you know,
this movie's trying to show me that monkey man falling off the boat and screaming. I think that's what this movie's trying to say.
That's right.
It's trying to go, That was awesome.
Let's talk about the monkey men. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way. There's some, there's aliens in this, of course.
Mm-hmm. These are new aliens, and yes. I didn't bother to remember where they're from, but they're not the M guys.
They're new ones.
They're not Cetopians. They're not from Planet X.
They're completely different. I know they wear the silver suits and stuff, but it's completely different.
These guys have CDs taped to their backs.
Yeah.
Dangle off.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can tell they're different. And they turn into monkeys.
And they turn into monkeys when you kill them. I don't know if it's like a disguise that they're wearing.
And it's not just when you kill them.
It's like when you injure them.
Yeah, when you injure them, I don't know if like a certain amount of their energy has to be spent on looking like a human, and maybe when you hurt them, that energy has to go into like healing, or I don't know.
But
I'm sure they put a lot
of
thought into it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. They had a whole thing mapped out for it, but it doesn't make any sense because they always look like people, even when they're around only their kind.
Yeah,
you know, one guy's smoking a cigar. The big boss, he's got like a birthmark around his eye.
Yeah, it's like black. I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I just liked that.
It looks
like
a
never
bruise.
Got explained. Yeah.
It's cool though. But
I really like that's another improvement. I bitched about the Cetopia people fairly last time. I stand by everything I said about those people. I hated them. This is a vast improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the same vein, because you've got like a, you know, the big leader guy with all his minions around him staring at a TV and telling a monster to go fight Godzilla. But this is like how to do it. He's got like a cool base and he's. But the Cetopia base just screamed low budget.
Yeah, totally.
And you could tell by the minuscule amount of camera angles they used in the last one that the set was fucking tiny.
Yeah, that was all they had.
And here they shoot it from all crazy different angles. It mm-hmm. feels like a place where I can imagine people work.
Yeah, totally.
Aliens.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a real person working here, I can imagine those monkey people.
They're
you know, clocking in every morning, walking around, doing their job.
Yeah.
9 to 5, building Mechagodzilla.
Controlling Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, controlling Mechagodzilla, making sure his head works or whatever the fuck was going on.
Filling out forms.
Yeah. Got to get
calling
insurance,
HR.
Mech insurance on him.
were we talking other funny jokes something?
Like that?
Yeah.
But I like these bad guys a lot better than the Zootopia bad guys.
Yeah. So I don't know how you didn't watch this when you were a kid, right?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I watched this when I was a kid, and I remember getting the shit scared out of me by these monkey men.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite understand the guy in the trench coat being Interpol and being a good guy.
Right.
You know, it was a little lost on me. So I thought he was a bad guy like the whole movie because he looks like one.
Yeah.
So I thought they were like different aliens.
Yeah.
And so this monkey guy gets like shot in the head, right? Yeah, he gets shot in the eye and like half of his face turns into monkey face. It's like green monkey face too.
Yeah.
And he starts making like these horrible noises too. He's like,
yeah.
It's like, I remember that, like, really, I was like, ugh. And he's like running around.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird and like mm-hmm. freaked me out. And like the day for night stuff looked weird and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a kid, I didn't understand it was supposed to be night. I just thought it looked weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they scared me, and then, like, seeing them slowly turn into monkeys, too, I was like, so I didn't understand they were supposed to be aliens.
Yeah.
On a certain degree, too. I was like, so they're monkeys? What? You know? But even still today, it's kind of scary and weird. But I like them. I think they're cool guys.
I really like that Anguirus is in this.
Mm-hmm. Just to get his ass beat.
Yeah, he gets his ass beat, but it's nice because knowing in hindsight that the Showa series was like wrapping up, just like seeing him one more time.
Right.
You know, after this, it's just Mechagodzilla and Godzilla again, and then Titanosaurus. So like there's no more older monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like that he has a cameo, and I like the callback, or I don't even know if it was a callback, but I think it was a callback to Raids Again.
Maybe, that he's
fighting Godzilla again.
Probably, I mean, somebody had to have thought about it.
A little nod. That was cool. And I really like that Anguirus knows that Mechagodzilla isn't Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff's cool.
That's really cool to think about, like, the connections between these monsters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, how they interact, and just knowing that, like, Anguirus immediately knows something's wrong, and he, like, calls Godzilla. Yeah. I really like that.
I like how Mechagodzilla, like, almost kind of looks like the real Godzilla suit.
Right.
But it's like not as articulate.
In some shots it is.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like at some points, I think when he starts losing skin, it's like a different head, and it's like less, it moves way less.
Uh-huh.
It looks like more fake. I like that they did that.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I like the idea of like chipping away at
his skin to reveal. Yeah, I thought that was a good, and it's like a lot more intrigue
mm-hmm.
than there usually is. If you haven't seen this before, it's like a really interesting way to introduce that too.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's not a part of.
The whole movie feels just a little more cinematic than the rest of most of the Godzilla movies.
That's something I wanted to bring up. Like usually the it seems like they put a lot of their resources in most Godzilla movies, or at least the previous Godzilla movies up to this point. They use their resources all on in those like city destruction or city fight scenes into like building the city and like, you know, having little explosions and crashes and stunts. You know, but like this time around, and usually it's like it's shot pretty flatly
mm-hmm.
most of the time, you know, in terms of like color and lighting and all of that. But this time around, they really like, I mean, it's there's still parts of it that are pretty flat.
Mm-hmm.
They do end up at the end just fighting in some dirt.
Right.
For the
yeah.
most part. But like there's a couple scenes, the one of them being the fight between Godzilla and Mechagodzilla, the first one. Where it's like really dramatically lit and like dark and kind of moody looking.
That power plant scene is so good. That's
Ooh.
That's one of my favorite Godzilla scenes in the whole series.
Yeah, it looks flipping great.
It's just so dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fighting, and it really, the way they do it, the way they cut between like the people coming up and watching really does feel like
it's in the same space.
Yeah, it just gives you the sense that like there's these little people watching this huge cataclysmic event that they don't have any control over.
Right.
And there are very few instances like that this early on. Maybe like the scene that comes to mind is from Godzilla versus Hedorah, where they're watching, like, all those hippies are watching Hedorah come towards them. But even that, like, that they do feel like they're in the same space. Like, these people feel like they're in the same space as Godzilla fighting Mechagodzilla, but everything just feels so much bigger in this.
Yeah, I agree.
It just feels, like, huge. Like, they're watching this huge thing, and there's all this explosion. There's so much explosion.
I know.
Happening in that part.
There's just a couple parts.
All fire.
Yeah, there's like a backdrop that they've got where or a matte painting of the sky behind them that gets their shadows thrown onto it a couple times.
Yeah.
But honestly, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm willing to bet that wasn't intentional, but it kind of like that part where, that part in Godzilla versus Hedorah where
he's walking like right in front of the...
in front of a projector.
Yeah.
It kind of like that where like, yeah, you can tell what you're seeing isn't real, but it's like stylized in a way that
it still
just
feels
makes
right.
It pretty and it like appropriate for what you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to say the same thing. I was going to say another part that looks really pretty and just cinematic, dramatic, whatever you want to call it, is the part where Godzilla kind of loses that first fight. Like it's kind of a draw.
Right.
But Godzilla never really gets his ass kicked like that, especially that early on. And he, like, rolls into the water and he goes back to maybe Monster Island. But I don't know. Yeah. I kind of like to imagine that it's, like, just Godzilla's own little fucking, like, rock
little
place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he, like, just walks up on the shore and he's, like, pissed off that he lost.
It's raining and
it's
like
storming. There's like a hurricane happening and he starts getting struck by lightning
just, like,
over and over again.
Too. He's, like, almost just silhouetted.
Yeah,
in this
start
light,
screaming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so like very atmospheric and just like it feels like Godzilla.
Yeah,
like that's what Godzilla feels like to me.
It's something that later movies, I think, you know, would see something in.
Yeah,
you know, and people would be like, "Ooh, there's what really."
Yeah,
yeah. I think we've continued to sort of like sharpen exactly what's so great about these, or like what people see in them.
Uh huh.
And like it's been. You know, ever since 2014, it's like really started to get realized, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's such a great moment. And like, these two parts almost like stick out from the rest of the movie because they're so well shot. And I wish the rest of the movie was like that.
Yeah. I keep coming back to Godzilla versus Hedorah for some reason.
It's like, that's the like one of the few other like really visually stimulating.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Ones throughout this whole era.
But there's that shot that I mentioned where the kid's talking about Godzilla being mad about pollution, and it's just Godzilla silhouetted from like really far away, and he's like just over the horizon, like
just
screaming.
Like roaring, yeah.
But like that image of Godzilla and the image of Godzilla like on his island freaking out and getting struck by lightning, like that
definitive.
There's like an intersection between those two where it's like, okay, I'm seeing the same character in both of these that I'm not seeing all the time. Like,
yeah, it's presented really differently.
There's nothing like that in Godzilla versus Megalon where I really feel like, yeah, it's Godzilla. There's no confusing it with another character or whatever, but like that Godzilla that I'm seeing sometimes is why I like Godzilla.
But yeah, no, it's like really kind of iconic and like definitive imagery for this character and this whole franchise.
I wish some of the art in the Criterion book, like the art for Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, would have utilized one of those two scenes.
Yeah, it seems you know, not to go off on a tangent about that, but like it seems like those artists really like maybe they liked Godzilla, I don't know, but it really seems like they didn't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah. But it kind of frustrates me because you take a movie like Godzilla versus Megalon or Godzilla versus Gigan where there's no scene like that or no moment that actually had that much like ambition in the movie. So the art that you have to make is more about the idea of the movie rather than like literally being inspired by what was on screen. But in this movie, it's like, okay, you have like
real imagery.
This is stuff to go off of. Like, you can take something that's already stylized and, like, do it up in your own way.
Yeah.
And then you have something that perfectly represents the movie. And the Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla poster that they have in the Criterion set. It's not bad. It's actually one of the better ones in that set. But I just wish they had taken some inspiration, because I think it's just from, like, at the end where they're in that field. But if you...
It's not iconic.
Draw Godzilla maybe, like, dead on while that rain's hitting him and lightning. I don't know. You can do anything.
Yeah. It's... I don't...
Or there could be something really cool to do with Godzilla and Mechagodzilla trying to look like Godzilla. I don't know if you could have, like, a reflection or something.
Or you could just, like, draw him inside of Godzilla or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Low opacity. It's just, all that shit just seems like, those wacky Godzilla movies.
Right.
You know, it's like by somebody who's just, like, heard about them, which I can't get mad at the artist for. If Criterion's like, we'll pay you a couple $1,000s.
Right.
To draw some shit for us. And they go, okay.
But I also imagine that a problem with it would be they probably had a very short deadline.
They probably did. They probably had very little time.
So something I noticed was that they had some returning actors from older movies, and they were playing, like, supporting roles.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool, because they had that. I think that started with Jun Fukuda, where he started casting, or that might have been Bano. One of them started the trend where, like, they were like, okay, we're going to use new people.
Mm.
And it was mostly new people. And I don't know. It's just so ingrained in the series, like casting the same characters or casting the same actors as different characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that just feels like a callback.
Yeah, no, it is
a little
cool.
Earlier in Godzilla's history.
And it's like people, it's like characters that people really like. So it's always, like, cool just to see their face.
Yeah, it is.
Like, the guy who played Serizawa is, like, so good all the time.
Yeah.
It's always just cool to see him.
And the guy from Mothra played, like, the uncle.
Yeah.
It's good ways to utilize those actors, too.
No, yeah.
Because it's playing them up as a little bit older, but it's still, like, they're very upfront for the most part. Like, at the very end of that cruise part, like, the captain of the boat comes out. And I don't remember where I recognized him from, but I know for a fact he's been in multiple Godzilla movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of like, oh, cool.
Yeah, hey, there he is, you know.
I didn't utilize him very well, but the other two, the main two were utilized very well. I thought that was really cool to, like, weave them in with a new cast.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, this movie isn't really, like, you know, it's not to, I wouldn't really treat this movie like quite like a good movie, even though there are, like, really visually striking parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
The story's, like, in my opinion, it's, like, kind of weird.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of weak in some ways.
Again, that's one of the things that felt more cinematic to me.
Really?
Is that, I mean, if you look at a movie like Godzilla vs. Megalon, where it's like, okay, people are building a robot. There are aliens. The people with the robot fight the monster that belongs to the aliens. You know what I mean?
Fill in the gaps from there.
It's all bullshit. Uh-huh. And not since, like, maybe Invasion of Astro Monster have you had, like, a movie that puts so much emphasis on
the plot.
Plot elements. Yeah. Like, there's this prophecy and, like, the characters. Like, it centers really heavily around character interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a pretty big cast. It's, like, kind of got, like, a double cast. There's there's always, like, two different groups of people, and, like, the people switch out sometimes, but there's a lot of, like, characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. Even they kind of do a twist on that archetype of, like, the shady guy with sunglasses who's always following around the protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how many movies those have been in before this. Just in Godzilla, Gamera, there have been characters like that. And they always turn out to be aliens. So
in
this one, they kind of flipped that and turned out to be, like, secret police.
It was Interpol.
Yeah.
I remember watching that recently with you that first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was fine in the movie, but, like, thinking back on it, it's, like, really hard to think about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's that weird fight scene.
We're going to talk about that.
There's, like, that one guy that's just, like, watching the...
Yeah, it's the uncle guy.
Yeah, the uncle guy's, like, watching this alien guy, like, kick the
his nephew's. One of
the, kick his nephew's ass. And, like, they're scrambling around, and he's just like, whoa, whoa. And then the alien guy, like, drops his gun, and he picks up the gun, the uncle does. And then he's like, whoa, whoa, even though he like obviously has a clear shot, and they're doing all these close ups where like he's like the alien's just kind of like,
yeah,
randomly smacking at the guy.
Yeah, he's like punching him, but you can tell they're like really soft punches.
Yeah, and they're adding like a, you know,
it's so weird.
It's really, really bizarre.
I remember
bizarre.
It pissed me off the first time I watched it because I was like, fucking Grandpa could do anything.
Yeah, Grandpa, just grab him. There's grab two of you.
He's got like a room full of like vases and books that he yeah. could smash over this guy's head.
And he's just like looking around like, oh no, I can't do anything.
Like, oh, he's just nervous. And I don't know if they meant for him to seem older than he was, but it's really clear. Like he can't be like any more than 50, I don't think. You know, he's very capable of
yeah, he's able-bodied.
Getting involved.
Absolutely. He could probably take the guy by himself if he
yeah,
wanted. You know,
probably,
like,
yeah.
I'd say he's got a good chance.
But especially when he gets the gun
yeah,
and he just drops it.
Yeah,
like
he ends up dropping
it.
It
gets
holds
comical.
It like, yeah, they cut away from him for like, you know, 30-second periods. And it's like, where's Grandpa?
Yeah,
what's he
it's
doing?
It's like,
then
I know
it cuts
he's
back to him,
still in there.
And he's still, he cuts back to him and he's still like, whoa, whoa, you know. And then he gets the gun and he does that more. And then he puts it down in one shot.
He just sets it down like as the guy's getting out the window.
Yeah, he
like with some shit
he
stole.
Yeah, he could have killed him like really easily. There's like some fucking like, I wouldn't even say over the, I can't say it's like probably a shoulder mount. It's probably like straight up they're holding the camera with how wobbly mm-hmm. it is. It's kind of ugly, TBH.
Oh, during the fight?
Yeah, like when it's like really shaky and they're like chasing him out. And it's like really like,
yeah,
you
know what
you
mean.
It's like, God, might as well have been holding an iPhone or something. It's so fucking horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But
they didn't have iPhones, Matt.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not
Jamie,
sure.
Jamie, pull that up for me.
Jamie, pull up iPhone.com.
Pull up iPhone.com, Jamie. But yeah, there's so, the, but like the characters in this. The characters in this feel like kind of weird to me, and it's like I'm thinking back on them. I can't really remember them too well. I remember there's like a girl with kind of a weird hat,
mm-hmm.
very 60s fashion or early 70s fashion rather.
Yeah,
and like I don't know, all of it just feels kind of distant and weird.
Yeah, I think like, it's because the cast was like just a little too big. It was like characters
stretched a little too thin.
Characters blend or, together.
Yeah, not stretched thin, but
yeah,
yeah, you know, story was stretched thin. Over some a ton of characters.
Yeah.
There's the villain when the villain dies, it's really cool.
Oh yeah, he gets shot in his throat.
Yeah, he gets like shot in the throat and he's like and like black blood comes out of him.
Yeah, it comes spraying out
yeah,
of him.
It's like really cool. He's like, oh, and then he just like falls over.
Yeah.
It's like he's got like a great look on his face too. He's like he uh-huh. like looks like he knows he's lost or something.
I thought he was like the best actor in this movie.
He was pretty good thinking part, back on it. Yeah,
it was.
There's
a part when Mechagodzilla like finally dies and he's sitting in his chair and they have a close up of him and he looks so defeated.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Like that it's so good. Just like that's genuine good acting mm-hmm. right there.
No, he's kind of like he's hamming it up just like a tad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like it's
yeah,
right. It's right
you,
for this.
How do you ham up being an alien whose robot
yeah.
just got blown up? You know what I mean?
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's hamming you down.
He's great in it. He's is like really enjoyable.
Yeah. I liked him a lot.
Mm-hmm. He's really, really cool.
King Caesar. We haven't talked about the famous King Caesar.
He scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Seeing his head in that mountain, being because I didn't know anything about him. I was like, Godzilla's mostly like lizards and robots and like a few.
Yeah, dinosaur.
Yeah, you know, dinosaur type dragon. Stuff. And then like there's like one, it's just like, you know, they're all slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
All the monsters are almost always slowed down. But King Caesar moves at 24 frames per second, absolutely regular.
I know what you mean. I didn't see this when I was a kid, but I did see Final Wars when that came out.
Oh, really?
Which was, like, towards the end of when I was really discovering Godzilla. Mm. That movie came out in the States, and there was that part with King Caesar in it, and he looks very similar to how he does in this movie.
Mm.
Like, they didn't change a whole lot, and he moves the same way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
still, like, really
agile,
erratic.
Yeah.
Jerky and fast and
mm-hmm.
it's just scary.
I know his
mouth
face is
gaped open and he's yeah it's the fact that he's like A, he's like mammalian,
yeah,
and B, he looks like he was inspired by like South American Aztec shit or something. Like, mm-hmm. he just doesn't look like he fits in to the Godzilla, you know, Pantheon. Rogues Gallery. And it was just so weird for me, and that it just made me want to look away.
There's a particular shot that's particularly alarming, or was particularly alarming to me. Whenever he's got, like, they've got something to, like, control his ears, mm-hmm. and his ears, like, stick straight up at one part, and this really, like,
yeah,
he's
they
got
shoot
big
up.
Ears, yeah, and they're like, boom, and it's like, I don't know what it is about that.
I think they play a sting with that, like, you know, like a high pitched noise to go with that, and it's just like, it's scary to look at.
He's frightening, and he runs around. And he's like, guys,
he's always running everywhere. He never walks anywhere.
Yeah, he's always got, like, his arms up and ready, and he's got, like, his fingers, like, clawed out, and it's like, it's just frightening
and
scary.
He fights with Godzilla, and I guess he's supposed to be a different thing. He's not like a monster like Godzilla.
He's
just
like some sort of deity
or like a being that has to be awoken for a purpose,
part of a prophecy.
But he teams up with Godzilla, but it never really feels like they're on the same team to me. I mean, yeah, they're both fighting Mechagodzilla, but they, like, in Megalon, I always knew, like, Godzilla and Jet Jaguar are friends.
Yeah,
like, you can just tell that by the way they interact.
Right.
But here, and maybe it's just because of, like, the more serious tone. Yeah, he just never really seems like a Godzilla's ally.
Yeah, and he's, like, absent from a bunch of that fight.
Yeah,
You know, like, Godzilla gets, like, bloodied in this. He gets, like, his neck cut open at one point and sprays blood, and he gets all these missiles lodged into him. And then he turns into a magnet.
Yeah, what do you think about him turning into a magnet?
It's weird, but he's done weirder, honestly, at this point in the Showa era. So, but it's really funny watching Mechagodzilla, like, try to fly away, like, completely prone in the air, like, completely straight, and he's, like, having trouble. He's, like, wobbling while Godzilla, like, tries to get him, and, like, Godzilla's, like, bringing his arms towards him. He's like,
come here, you come fucker. Here.
Yeah, Mechagodzilla's like, he's like, they do a great job of, like, making him seem like his jets are doing nothing. He's just like hanging there, like, there's some great parts in this. They throw some empty suits around on strings in broad light, you know?
Yeah.
And really blatant light that's, like, easy to see. They're like, you know?
Yeah.
Thrown around, and that's pretty funny.
Yeah, there was one shot in particular of King Caesar where you can see, like, you just straight up see, like, the opening where they put the guy in.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. Yeah. I know maybe it's heresy to say this, but the guy performing Godzilla in this one, which I should know his name, but I don't, but he's really knocking it out of the park compared to what Nakajima was doing towards the end of his run.
Pretty friggin' good. He's doing, like, some great ones when he's, like, facing off with Mechagodzilla. He's like doing stuff with his hands that's really good.
Yeah.
You know?
I really like that shot where he comes out of the water, and then he's, like, coming over that mountain.
And he's kind
of wiggling really slowly.
He's, like, looming over this mountain. It's a great shot.
And he just looks like he's ready to kick some ass.
Yeah. It's a really, like, intimidating shot of him.
And it's just, like, he's got body language more so than, like, the really, really early Godzilla. But, like, when Nakajima started doing that shit where he would, like, wipe his mouth with his arm and then, like, wave.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was awful. It didn't make me feel like Godzilla. Like, what the fuck is Godzilla trying to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
But this Godzilla is, like, you know, he's a little more expressive. They've made him a little more human, but you can tell he's just, like, pissed off and ready to fight.
Yeah. It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it feel good. And with the more cinematic tone in a couple of these scenes, it, like, really makes him memorable.
Yeah. And it's a similar Godzilla suit to the one that was used in the last movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the exact same, but
it's more or less the same design.
Yeah. And I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really gets to shine in these last two movies.
Yeah, it does.
Where it's like,
it's kept in good condition for fucking once.
Yeah.
You know, for at least a minute.
But I noticed in one shot, like, one of his fingers was falling off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, one of his fingers, like, you could tell the suit had been, like, ripped or something. Because he was, I think it was when he was, like, trying to get Mechagodzilla to come towards him.
Okay.
He was waving his hand, and, like, there's, like, a little fucking piece of latex flipping around.
He didn't have any crazy glue on set that day?
No, they were going fast.
It's weird. I don't have, like, a ton to say about this movie.
Yeah, I've said most of what I want to say. I'm racking my brain for any more, but, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward movie. Like, just because I don't have anything to say about it doesn't make it bad.
No, yeah.
It's just, like, kind of a straight movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really have too many.
It's got personality, definitely, and it's
significant.
It's not terrible. It's pretty good in most parts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I wanted to pay a little bit more attention than I did this time. I feel like the first time I really had a handle on, like, everything that was happening.
Right.
This time I kind of tuned out because I had seen it before and I thought it would come back to me, but...
Well, it's hard to follow at some parts in some ways, you know what I mean? Like,
There's a lot of, like, quick exposition at the beginning that I missed.
Yeah.
Like, I got up to make some popcorn, and, like, right then they kind of explained the relationship between some of the people.
Yeah,
and I was like, maybe I'll catch it again when they talk about it, but they really don't.
There's several out-of-focus shots in this movie, too.
Yeah, there's that one where they're eating on the boat.
It's, like, a long shot. It lasts, like, 20 seconds.
So fucking long.
And it's, like, so out of focus. It's like
crazy out of focus.
I know it was like, you know, having worked with, you know, actual film at this point, I know how much of a pain in the ass it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, come on, it's a Toho movie.
At the same time, that's people's careers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
People are
your
being
DP
paid,
or whatever, focus puller. Isn't focus pulling like its own job?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, back then it was, but, you know, people did that for a living. So at that point,
well, I mean, all they had to do, I mean, they had a process. They had got most of the other shots in focus.
Yeah.
Just get a fucking, you know, measuring tape and...
And get to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get cracking, boy.
Some disgusting anamorphic or something, like really wide angle.
Yeah, they've got that lens that we've talked about earlier. Maybe even a worse one.
Yeah.
It's just so bubbly.
And it wouldn't be a problem if they just kept the fucking camera stationary instead of like doing these shitty pans.
Yeah, they keep panning.
I hate that. That's camera work that I hate. It's like, I'm fine with like, you know, panning around on a fucking tripod if you need to follow something.
Yeah.
And it's like needed, but like sometimes people are just like, keep a portion in the middle, or sometimes just sort of show a little more of the room. It's like just one is fine. Just keep the camera still, dude. Like, It's just so ugly. And it's like hard to watch at those ones. It's like, it makes you feel almost like nauseous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just so terrible. I don't know if they wanted that or what.
Yeah. It's hard to tell what was on purpose and what wasn't.
Yeah, because sometimes people with these movies just randomly decide to do something weird or try to do something weird.
You know, it's really hard to believe that, like, this was directed and written by the same guy who directed Megalon and Gigan.
Yeah, totally.
This movie has no stock footage.
Yeah.
I don't
think. Yeah, you're right.
It's got some, early on, this lady's, like, having, like, a premonition, and she gets, like, some screenshots of older movies.
But that's fine.
No, yeah, that's perfectly acceptable.
You know, even though King Ghidorah's in it, and he doesn't appear in the movie.
Yeah, that always kind of confused me.
Yeah.
Or that has confused me.
It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, I think it was mainly, like, not to spoil the rest of it, because she was like, you know, there's going to be an evil monster, and it just showed us an evil monster we already knew to get
the point across. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't come off as cheap or shitty. They were trying to do something with this movie. They tried.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. They fucked up in some ways that they really shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was really, like, below them.
I really liked it when they would zoom in on the King Caesar statues.
They kept doing that. They kept doing that.
I really liked that.
I love those, like, super fast, long zooms.
Yeah.
Go through, like, 100 millimeters of focal length and... in, like, a second.
Uh-huh.
Super cool.
Don Fries.
I've been kicked in the head by a horse a few times.
Okay, so, like I said, I don't have too many dramatic feelings about this movie. It's fine in a lot of ways. The plot isn't great, and it's, like, it crosses the threshold of where it's, like, not really funny, and it's reaching a level of quality where I want to, like, judge it as, like, a real movie.
Right.
And, like, really be, like, actually critical of it. But I can't be that critical of it because it's Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Right.
You know, like, so there's only so much. And it's, like, so I'm, but, and there's, like, several really good things about this movie. And it's, like, actually really iconic in some ways. And has some really definitive imagery for, you know, this whole franchise. And there's several interesting things and a couple of cool performances.
Yeah.
It's not really funny. There's some things that are funny. There's a part where one of the monkey guys that's getting chased on the ship, he falls off or whatever, yeah. And there's like a, stiff as a board dummy, like, ah!
Yeah, and like they've hurled it down. It's going really fast. It's going and they have like a clip of him screaming. He's like, ah! And then they cut it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's gone. It's really funny. I love it's adding a scream to dummies falling. There's this clip from The Sopranos where they do, I think it's like the first season of The Sopranos, where they like throw a guy off the bridge, and it's like a really serious scene. It's like fucked up. There's like these guys, and it's like, hey, you don't have your fucking money yet, one of those standard things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this bridge, and there's like a few black dudes that are like fishing, nearby. And they get this guy, and they're like, he's like, I promise I'll have the money next week or something. And they throw him off, and it's like very obviously a dummy. It's like, ah! There's something about screams, paired with like always stiff funny dummies. It's like it accentuates how not real the thing falling is. It's so funny to me. I love it.
It's funny because they record the screams like just standing up. It's just, okay, lean into the mic and go, ah. Okay.
Yeah, it's just ADR.
Yeah, but, you're watching something go sailing through the air, It should be like, ah, ah,
Yeah, it should be like, ah, or like echoed maybe.
Something.
Put some reverb on it or something, It's
or recorded from far away.
Yeah. It's just so funny. It's always funny.
Yeah.
But, besides stuff like that, there isn't a whole lot really wacky about this movie. Like, there's, King Kong versus Godzilla or King Kong Escapes.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty neutral on this movie. I'm feeling just above neutral on this movie. I'm going to go with a 6 out of 10. No negative feelings, really, but not a whole lot working for it besides, a few select scenes and nothing pissing me off. So it's like really just middle of the line for me. I don't have too many things to say.
For me, I feel like this is kind of like the standard, better than this are the great Godzilla movies and worse than this are the terrible ones.
Right, yeah.
So this is kind of just what I come to expect as a Godzilla movie. It's like the median. And that's not bad because I like the Godzilla franchise. And if you like the Godzilla franchise, then this is a good Godzilla movie,
yeah,
in enjoyable. My opinion. So, yeah, I like it a good bit and I'm happy with its existence. And I think Jun Fukuda saved the best for last, kind of redeems him, in my opinion,
yeah,
a little bit. I know he hated Godzilla apparently or hated making these movies or something. But it's cool that he had this one in him and he went out on a high note. So I'm pretty happy with it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always going to stick in my mind visually. There are some Godzilla movies that just don't stick with me as much. Like maybe Megalon, when I think of the standout shots from that, I think of the kid riding that dolphin thing.
Because it's fucking stupid.
But when I think about this, I instantly think of those two scenes we talked about.
Yeah.
Where there's dramatic lighting and important beats are happening in the story.
Yeah.
So that's, it sticks in my mind and it's positive. Like we've said, it's definitely one of the prettiest looking Godzilla movies.
From this era.
Yeah, from this era, and I think for its era, it was pretty good. At the time that it was made, it was probably, third or fourth best Godzilla movie ever made.
Yeah.
So, I like it a lot. I'm going to give it a 7. I think there are definitely, plenty of more good Godzilla movies, but this was kind of a benchmark as far as Godzilla goes. It's one of those experiences where, I could probably sit down and watch this, a ton more times.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know what I mean? It's not like I watched and I'm like, okay, and that's done now, like I would with, Rodan or something. So, not a bad movie. Seven. 6 and 7.
67. 67.
Which was 76. The year that I was born.
Anyways, what are we watching next week?
We are watching War of the Gargantuas.
Oh, cool.
Which is a famous one that neither of us have seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen that
starring
yet.
Starring Gar and Gantuas.
Those guys are good. Well, before we go, do you want me to start up my new lawnmower so you can hear how it sounds?
No.
Yeah, it's a brand new one. It runs on entirely on gas. It runs entirely on gasoline.
Turn it off.
Yeah, it's on gas.
Turn it. It's too loud.
Gasoline.
What the fuck?
Like from the station?
Turn it down.
Here, I'm gonna rev it a little louder.
No!
Yeah, this baby can run for over 40 minutes.
Fuck!